beautiful sound. It's nothing to apologize for, sister. This too will pass. And it passes fast.
Amen.
That's as good a song, sir, as I think I've ever been in. I've been in some good ones. That's almost like singing and demonstration of the Spirit and will power. So I couldn't escape that thought. Then Brother Paul just had to read that verse. I want to go back where I kind of quit, and I hope nobody cares, but occasionally I jot down some notes, so I won't forget, okay? God don't forget, and I won't forget. Of course, I got to look at it. If I forget to look, that's a whole nother story. I do, again, beg an interest in your prayers. What I might have to say would be rightly divided. That is our greatest fear as ministers, that it's not rightly divided. We pray that we might study it out and rightly divide it, that it would be rightly divided, honoring to God, edifying to you, His followers, those who love Him, will follow Him. You're not going to get somebody that don't love the Lord to follow Him. They ain't going to do it.
No.
Got to feel that love. Got to feel that wonderful, grand, and glorious love that God has for us. And I used to not think much of it, but to tell somebody God loves them is a big deal.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's just what they need, is to know God does love me.
Right.
I've often been... You know, you'll have somebody come in, you may not know who they are, we don't know everybody what all is going on in their lives. They might feel so unloved.
Yeah.
And they come to a place of refuge. That's what a church is in many cases. It's a place of refuge. A place to escape these things and cares of this world for a little while.
Amen.
And hear that somebody loves them. Can you imagine an abused spouse coming to a church? How they must feel. I don't ever want to deliver a message that would make them feel unloved. I've often been afraid that I was going to do that. It's to cause somebody to be discouraged here in this time world. And the gospel is to... It's disciplinary. There are disciplines in the gospel. There are rules.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all fluff. But there is so much edification in the Word of God.
Amen.
And following it. And doing what it says. And honor to God. Faith in Christ. That's why we do it. I meant to say this earlier when we were having our discussion. You know, someone who's doing works under the law, him doing works under the law, and someone doing works through Christ Jesus, you might not be able to distinguish their heart.
Right.
Because the works are the same.
Yeah.
But you can distinguish their hope.
Yeah.
Because brother, when you're doing it because you love Christ, it radiates on your very countenance, I believe.
Yeah, right.
Faith in Christ. That's why we desire to do good works. We have a faith and trust in Christ.
Amen.
Trusting what He's done for us. Trusting that He is there when we need Him. I was quoting a verse to Craig. I can't quote too many scriptures, by the way. I had a distant cousin that could quote scripture like a gun. I mean, he could beat anything I ever seen. If I hear it often and read it often, and you know, I'm continuously looking at it, and this one's at Bob where I study every morning. This verse is there, and I love this verse, and it's been a great comfort to me. It's Micah 7:7, so it's easy to remember. If you remember Micah 7:7, I mean, that's easy. It says, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. See, that's all tied together now. But you can't just take the last verse and say, my God will hear me, if I'm not looking to it. If I'm not waiting for it, He's not going to hear me. Don't just take the last verse and think, I've got it. I got that last verse, so I got it. No, the other two go with it, and a lot of others, by the way. We labor. I'm going to go back and read this verse at the end of, well, not the end, but the 14th verse of the 11th chapter of Acts. This is the word that came to Cornelius, which would come from the mouth of the Apostle Paul, who shall tell thee words, whereby thou and thy house shall be saved. There's a lot packed in that verse. It's not just going to be the words that Peter's going to tell them. It's more to the words than just what it says here. He's giving instructions. Peter's giving them instructions, the things thou oughtest to do. That's earlier. It's in there. Oughtest. You ever heard anybody define oughtest like, well, it's optional? No, oughtest is not optional. Oughtest is the things that must be done.
Right.
And that's what the angel told Cornelius, the things that you ought to do. These things must be done. You want the blessings of God? There's things that must be done. The blessing we're going to receive, which is totally without merit, will happen on resurrection morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the blessing that doesn't require any effort on your part. Doesn't matter if you believe this gospel or not. He's going to call you to meet Him in the air based on one thing. His shed blood. Nothing else. I like to say no thing else than His shed blood. When He calls us up to meet Him in the air, it won't be because Chris done this or Chris didn't do that. He's not going to call me up for that. He's going to call us up because of His shed blood. That He shed on purpose. For a purpose.
Yeah, right.
The glory that was set before it. That was beautiful, by the way. I love it. But to be saved. Now, we understand which salvation He's talking about. Timely. And Sherry's always said, well, that makes it easy for me to understand. So I'm going to give you what makes it easy for Sherry to understand and divide the saves. When I'm involved, it's timely. If I'm involved, just like this right here, anytime a man's involved, it's timely salvation. God does the eternal saving.
Right.
He takes care of that. Without us. Without us, He takes care of our eternal. He took care of our eternal home.
Yeah.
It's finished. It's what He said. It's completed. All this was necessary for us to be called up to meet Him in the air has been taken care of. That's that free grace. That's what we like, isn't it? We like the free stuff. But Brown, if you're going to enjoy that free grace, if you're going to enjoy the concept that He saved you, delivered you forevermore, secure, if you're ever going to enjoy that, truly enjoy that statement, and enjoy the richness and fullness of that statement, you're going to follow Him faithfully.
Right. Amen.
And then He blesses you and increases your hope. You ever met somebody that doesn't have any hope? That's a sad human being.
Right.
I believe that's the ones that commit suicide. They just have no hope. It's lost. You know how valuable hope is? So valuable, Paul said, we're saved by hope. So hope saves us. Here in this time world, someone with hope, if you can hope, if you have a hope, you're going to keep trying. Mm-hmm. It's when you lose hope,
right,
you stop trying. There's nothing to live for, right? Hope is a big deal.
Amen.
Don't anybody belittle your hope.
Right.
God put it there. Mm-hmm. It's in there because God placed it there. Build on it. Grow it. Fertilize it with the Word of God.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And doing the Word of God. Amen. Don't be just hearers of the Word. Be doers mm-hmm. also. So it's labor intense again. It is labor intense, bro. And you ought to be happy that we have the labor.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody that's out of work is not real happy. We've got work 24/7. Anytime you want to get up and work, you can work with the Lord. Work for it. Not for anything for yourself. Well, you'll get blessings for yourself, I guarantee. But don't do it selfishly. Do it to honor Him.
Right. Amen.
And you'll be blessed. But don't do it selfishly. Do it in honor to our Creator who created us in His image. You know, Romans 1:16 says that Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Right.
For it is the power of God and to salvation. To who? Everyone that believeth. I believe that's a timely salvation because it requires me to be in a certain state, and that's belief. What if I quit believing? I don't get that salvation anymore. It comes to an end, doesn't it? Belief is part of that. That's a timely salvation.
Right.
We've already established what's going to happen at the resurrection based on the blood of Christ. So, whenever it involves me, it's time. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I'm a simple-minded person. And that's just the way I think. Paul had a great desire. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He wasn't worried about their home in heaven and more glory. He wasn't worried about Resurrection Day.
No.
The apostles were called to preach repentance and remission of sins that required a response from the hearer. If you responded and you saved yourself, that's responding to the gospel. You're saving yourself from this untoward generation. I'll tell you what, we've got an untoward generation today. Mm-hmm. A lot of people need saving from it.
Right.
And we need to be engaged in that battle.
Right. Amen.
But I believe that Paul, when he was praying to God that Israel might be saved, was actually knows exactly where they, the children of Israel that needed saving. He knew from experience why they needed saving. He knew it.
Mm-hmm.
They have a zeal of God.
Yeah.
Paul had it. Saul of Tarsus had the zeal. Not according to knowledge. He didn't have the knowledge.
Right.
So he was speaking from experience. He knew those people, and he knew where they were, because he is just like them. At one point, he was just like them. He's praying that God will intervene.
Amen.
And God has intervened. We don't have an excuse anymore, brethren. We have no excuse. God's intervened. The gospel has been preached abundantly, and what's going on in our land today is a direct result of the weakness of our churches.
Yeah.
It's a reflection. It's bottom up, brethren. When the churches, when the people return back to God, the politicians will follow suit. Don't you worry. They'll fall right in line. That bunch of hypocrites beats anything I've ever seen in my life. But they think they can get away with it because nobody's going to do anything to them. We live in some troublesome times. But it ain't nothing for our God to take care of.
Right.
If good men will stand up and defend the truth, and be willing to defend the truth, and be willing to die for it, I believe that's pleasing in God's sight, because we're standing for what God would have us stand for, and we will stand, just like those three Hebrew children that Craig referenced this morning. Wait a minute. Who could possibly fault them to say, I think the next time that music starts, I'm getting down? Who could fault them? How could you fault them? You ever been there? Anybody ever threaten your life? What about the lady over in Romania who was an attorney defending Christians in Romania back when they had the dictator? You realize a dictator and Christianity don't mix.
Right.
They won't have it. An assassin was sitting in her office. At the end of the day, she excused her assistant going home. It's a Friday afternoon. And she said, I'll take care of this guy. She brings him into her office, sits him down. He pulls out a pistol. Tells her all her faults. The government's ready for her to be taken out. She sees the gun. What would you do? And that's what I thought. What would I do? She tells him God loves him. She must have been awfully convincing. Because he didn't kill her. That was, I don't know how long ago that was. 20, 30 years plus. You know what the assassin does today? He pastors a church in Dallas, Texas. From Romania. And expects that any time the Romanian government's going to knock on his door and say, you need to come go with us. Your crimes have caught up with you. We don't know what people are told. We have no idea. Who needs deliverance? We all need to have a heart for other people. The trials and the burdens they carry, we don't know what they're carrying. And sometimes we don't know why we're going through a rough time. We just don't know. It's tough. Maybe we need to learn something in that time.
Yeah.
So we can help somebody else. When they get to that crossroad, it's not about self. When we learn that it's not about me, we've learned a lot.
Amen.
You've learned something. When you learn that it's not about me, it's about Christ. It's about Jesus. It's about following Him. It's about encouraging others to follow. Can you imagine if we went back? We need to go back. Sometimes you need to go back. To what made us great. We were at one time was the greatest country morally. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking morally. I'm not talking about big riches. I'm talking about morally. Morals are riches.
Right. Yeah,
they are. Morals are riches. Back when people would come from other countries to see what makes this country so great. And if you evaluate all our economic strengths, that doesn't make sense. how with our little population we can be such an economic superpower. We don't have enough population to do that. It's God. God has always blessed us here. Mm-hmm. In this nation. He's blessed us. Because we've always served Him. One nation under God. National motto. In God we trust. We're losing it, by the way.
Yeah.
We're losing it. We need to go back. And you know, I do preach too late doctrines. I do. I preach them. If judgment comes, repentance is no longer an option. Y'all understand. I found that in Revelation. You read it. He that is unjust. This is when judgment comes. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. No repentance in that. Too late. Too late doctrine. Everybody, you know, we as Christians, we say, well, I always got the option to repent, don't I? That's just the truth. We think that's our option. That's our out. All I got to do is repent. Well, if you've got that available, that's true. But if you don't grab a hold to it and do it, you ain't nowhere in the eyes of God. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. There's no salvation for him left. It's over. Wrath of God gonna come down on him. That's what I fear for this country. You know, a lot of people worried about the end of all time right about now with all these signs and things that are going on. They're concerned about. I'm concerned about the end of the United States of America. That's my concern. I'm concerned that we're going to be like those sisters in Jerusalem. Remember what Jesus told them? Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. And I can just see Jesus pointing over at the mountains. There's going to come a time when you're going to say to these mountains, fall on us. They're going to wish they were dead. That's not a good place to be. God gives life. Man purchases death. He purchased in the garden. And you're purchasing death. If you're not obedient to God, you're purchasing death.
Right.
Purchase life. Choose life. Isn't that what Moses said? Choose life.
Amen.
We've got the option right now. We can choose life.
Right.
So let's choose life. I tell you, I've never felt so much love in a long time in a church meeting. You believe I believe these other ministers are praying for me? I feel that.
Yeah.
I feel that. That's an awesome feeling. That's a feeling of love. Like it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
This jealousy stuff is about who's the biggest eye.
Right.
That's garbage.
Right.
There ain't no place for not among Christians. No. There ain't no place for that. The biggest eye is Christ.
That's it.
That's right.
The biggest eye is the I am.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
your biggest eye.
Amen.
That's all that really matters.
Maybe that's right.
Yeah.
I want to reference being saved by faith. That sister Brother Craig referred to this morning that washed the Lord's feet with the tears, that dried His feet with her hair, that anointed Him with the ointment and kissed His feet.
Mm-hmm.
That sister.
Yeah.
That sinner. Is that Pharisee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People were a prophet. Talking about Jesus now.
Mm-hmm.
He's thinking this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Lord knows what we think.
Amen.
He's thinking this. He's thinking, if that man were a prophet, he'd know. He knows she was a sinner.
Yep.
Looking down. Most beautiful thing that could that's ever happened in the man's house. Most beautiful sight, most beautiful occurrence. Mm-hmm. And he's missing the whole thing due to his bias.
Amen.
Against self-righteousness. Against this woman. Can't even see the repentance in her heart.
Right.
There it is. All the evidence anybody would need that's looking to see a repentant sinner thanking the Lord. You know, she knew when she got to that Pharisee's house the condemnation that most likely was going to come on her.
She did.
Are we afraid of that?
She
are we so proud we're afraid we're going to be condemned? She wasn't.
No, she wouldn't.
She wanted to thank her Lord.
Amen.
And she was determined. Are we determined like she was to thank the Lord? She loved much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She realized just what she'd been brought out. Can you imagine her life before Christ? A life in Christ should make, that should make all the difference in the world, brother.
Yeah.
We've lived such sheltered lives. I know I have. Mm. Such ease.
Yeah.
Not really sure if we know how to be thankful sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
What's it going to take?
Mm.
I remember Brother Joe Nettles several years ago said, if it takes a red army in the streets, bring them on. Well, looks like that could happen.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
I want repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Preach, brethren, let's preach repentance.
Yeah.
As I assure you, if you say, well, yeah, I really don't know if I got anything to repent of.
Mm.
There are still Pharisees among us.
Preach it now. Preach it now.
I'll tell you what, here's what really convicts me. For the last 50 years, we've been slaughtering the most innocent among us. Legally. That convicts me.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been a little engaged in that. I had never gone to a clinic like I probably should have. I ain't never done none of that. But I've done a little. I'm still convicted.
Mm.
I just feel like I've never done enough. But let me tell you what. The day I heard it was official that that's been overturned. Now, it's not illegal. But it got turned back to the states. Thank God for Mississippi is all I know to say. I'm going to tell you something about Mississippi. There was this one particular representative, and this is just God dealing with him back in 2007. You've heard of trigger laws by now. Trigger laws come into effect as soon as something happens. Trigger law. Checkmate's what it was. In 2007, they implemented and approved the trigger law because they wanted to shut the representative up because he kept bringing it up. When Roe and Wade's overturned, we want this law to come into place. And they tell him, you're crazy. It's never going to be overturned. 2007, this man had a heart to get this law in place. It's called a trigger law. Guess what happened? That trigger law put the last coffin nail in the last abortion clinic in Mississippi. They was going to fight it. They looked it over. Said, can't fight it. Close the doors and get out of Mississippi.
Amen.
I was so delighted.
Amen.
See, I knew it was a trigger law that did it, but I didn't realize it was implemented in 2007. You're talking about forethought. And that comes from God. If you've got any forethought today, brethren, God's given you wisdom. Thank Him for it. Let's be thankful. Let's be thankful that we have the opportunity and the option of taking up our cross and following the Lord. You know, that was spoken in a day when everybody knew what it meant when it said, take up your cross. You know what that meant out in the Roman world? You're fixing to be crucified.
Yeah.
You're about to be crucified. Take your cross.
Yeah.
Jesus told His followers, and He tells us today, take up your cross.
Yeah, right.
You're about to be crucified. Total submission to Rome when they ordered it, when Christ orders it, it's total submission to Christ.
Yeah.
Take up your cross. I want to add this to it and be saved. May God richly bless you and keep you. I am encouraged not only by your good, attentive manner, but by the Spirit that we have enjoyed in this meeting together.
Amen.
To God be the honor and the glory. God bless you.
How sweet the name.